last weekend. We had a great women's conference. The Lord ministered in so many different ways and to different ones. And so we've heard good reports, and our dance team did a phenomenal job, and they shared in word and ministry as well. And so it was just great. It was a great time. And Rocky Top Worship Center said, say hello to everyone. Many, many people said, say hello to Pastor Shirley and Mama Hiles for them. But it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be back in the house. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing as what to share, you know, so many great things going on this weekend. It's always an honor and a privilege for me to be able to do a baby dedication and to dedicate our babies to the Lord and to watch them grow up in the house of the Lord and watch God do so many things in their lives. And, you know, I say all the time that nothing that you ever do in the life of a child is ever wasted. Everything that we sow into them, every little nugget that we invest in them, every party you throw, every gift that you do, every scripture that you read with them, those of you who especially who work with young children in ministry and things like that, you know that those words never come back void, that when we cast our bread upon the water, the scripture says to us, it will return to you after many days, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And you know, sometimes we share and we give and we cast our bread and we don't see a return of that, but the promise of God says it will come back to you after many days. Amen. And so it's always exciting to see what the Lord is doing in the lives of our kids, and when our kids begin to minister and when you begin to see them, you know, loving the Lord. That's exciting. It's also Veterans Day. We talked earlier about honoring our veterans. Monday, tomorrow, was a day to celebrate and honor all of those who have served, our men and women who have served in the armed forces. We are the nation that we are today because of those who give the ultimate sacrifice, those who have given of their life, those who have sacrificed for us all. I mean, no, freedom's not free. We live in a free country, but it wasn't free. Many paid the ultimate price for us to have the freedom that we do today. And so we honor them for that. I want to talk a little bit about heroes today. I want to talk about some everyday heroes. And I want to talk about living life in the trenches. And I want to talk about the fight of faith. And I want to talk about how we, you know, maybe not all of us in this house have had the ability or the opportunity to serve in the armed forces. But how many know we serve? We talked this morning about there's an army rising up. How many know the scripture talks about the army of God? And it says that they will beat their swords and weapons into plowshares. How many know the weapon of the armies of God is not so much about guns or weapons, but it's about, it said they'll beat their swords and weapons into plowshares and pruning hooks. How many know those are farming tools? And those are things where we use to dig and to plant seed, and that those seeds might grow up to be a great. How many know it's a great thing to plant seed? Amen. Any farmers in here that can plant some seed? I know Henry and some of them plant seed. I planted some tomatoes this year. Maybe I told this story. And anyway, I planted them in a flower bed, and I planted this different variety of tomatoes. Actually, they're called hillbilly tomatoes. Anybody ever heard of the West Virginia hillbilly tomatoes? Yeah, like only me would plant hillbilly tomatoes, right? And so I found these, and somebody told me how great these were. And so I'm going to plant these tomatoes in this. And I planted them in this flower bed. Well, they didn't do anything. They, like, just, you know, lay there for the longest time. They looked like tomato plants, but they really just did not get tomatoes on them. They didn't bloom. They were just there. So my husband said to me, he said, honey, they're not going to do anything. They're not getting enough sun. I said, well, they got enough sun to, like, the plant come up, you know. So I would go down, I'd look at them, and I'd say, all right, girls, don't leave me hanging here. I need some tomatoes on these tomato plants. Well, anyway, evidently they were just late bloomers. They were just late bloomers because I got tomatoes off of those tomato plants, and they were like, they had red and orange. They really were very pretty tomatoes, and I even have some green tomatoes left right now that was on those that came from those. But how many know sometimes you can count people out and think nothing's going to happen with this seed, and then all of a sudden God begins to give the increase. Aren't you thankful that God is the one that gives the increase to the seed? He said one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. So never count it out. It ain't over till it's over, because God has a way of bringing things around and causing them to bloom in their season. Go to John 15 for me, Lisa, if you want to go ahead and bring that up. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. I can't think of any scripture that would describe our veterans, our men and women of military, better than that verse. Greater love hath no man than this, than he would lay down his life for a friend. He said, this commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have what? Loved you. Now that's a big mouthful, isn't it? That we love one another as God has loved us. The scripture tells us, for God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he so loved that he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life for us. But the next scripture that comes after that I love just as much, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can I just tell you this morning that God did not come to condemn you. He did not come to judge you. He did not come to cast you away. He came to save you, and he came to love you. God loves you today. No greater love hath any man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. Now, there's more than one way, I believe, to lay down your life. I believe you can lay down your life in the services, in military, in battles. And how many know many, many, many have done that for us today? And we recognize that and we honor that. But there are many ways that we lay down our life. And sometimes what laying down your life means, putting aside what you need to do, putting aside your agenda, putting aside your will, your desires for the good of somebody else. How many know there are many people who lay down their life daily for the good of other people? In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, and I didn't give this to Lisa, but it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How many know the Apostle Paul is given a recommendation? He's giving some instruction to Timothy, and he's saying, actually, he said, my time of departure is at hand. But he said, I want you to know something. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith, and I have finished my course. What an honor it is for Paul to say, I fought the good fight of faith. I mean, no, Paul actually had to fight for a lot of things that he believed in. There was a lot of things. Paul was challenged on a lot of his beliefs. He was challenged on a lot of the things that he was trained, because what he did was change from a lot of the law and the things that he had learned growing up. He said, but I profess to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I don't have any of my own credentials. I don't have any of my own degrees. All I know that is I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I mean, no, there's something to be said for fighting the good fight of faith. The fight that we fight in this day is not against flesh and blood, right? Ephesians, I think that's Ephesians. Go ahead and bring that one up, Lisa. Ephesians 6 and 12. Marina's saying amen. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The scripture says that we fight not against flesh and blood. How many know our fight is not against people? The things that we fight about or fight with in our life is not necessarily aimed towards people. How many know most of the time what we fight with is our mind? And our thinking, our stinking thinking. Anybody got any stinking thinking sometimes? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. The thoughts that we have. He said, we fight against principalities and powers in high places. How many know the high places sometimes are right in your own mind? How many are your, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many are your own worst critic? And sometimes we talk ourselves into stuff or talk ourselves out of stuff, right? The thoughts that come into our mind. There's a saying that says, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How many of you think you're powerful in here today? How many of you think you're anointed? How many think you're chosen? How many think you're purposed? How many think you are the apple of his eye? See, you need to know how much he loves you. You need to know how much he cares about you. You need to know that God has you in his mind. He said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or another way says it, what is man that your mind is full of him? That your mind is full of man. And so that he's always on our mind, in our hearts. And so most of the time what we fight against is not our neighbor or the neighbor's dogs or, you know, it's not the person you got behind of that's driving slow down the road on the way to work, you know, those kind of things. The things that we fight most about a lot of times is our own thoughts, our own depression, our own anxiety, our own fear. Y'all are very quiet today. Because chances are most of us have dealt with all of those things. How many know sometimes when you're dealing with fear or anxiety and depression and things like that, you got to reprogram your mind. You got to change your mind. You got to change how you think. You got to change those emotions. You got to change some things. And that's not always easy to do. It's sometimes a very difficult thing to do. But I mean, one of the things that we know is as the body of believers, the scripture tells us that if two or three that are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And if any two will agree on any one thing, I mean, no, you don't need a lot of friends, but you need a couple that can agree with you and stand with you in time of trauma and the time of chaos and the time of disorder in your life. Somebody that'll grab a hold of your hand and say, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to fix you, but I know how to call on God. I know how to pray. I know how to just sit with you. You know, sometimes we don't know what to say, and here's the deal. It isn't always about what you say. Sometimes it's just about being there. You don't always have to have the right words. You don't always have to have the answers, but you can say, but I'm here, and I'm here for you. And if I can't do anything else, I'll cry with you, or I'll laugh with you, or I'll celebrate with you. That's what it means to stand together. That's what it means to have life in the trenches. That's what it means to be boots on the ground. I wrote down in my notes that the trench, life in the trenches. The trench is the place and space where leverage is gained or lost, where advance toward victory can be achieved. Entrenched is to be, is to not, to give, to dig in and not give up. Fighting together to be involved in the difficult, hard, or dangerous things in life. How many know most of the time we spend our life fighting in the trenches? And what we're fighting for, not so much our freedom or things like that, we're fighting for, I mean, sometimes you can be fighting for someone who's just struggling with an illness. Or someone who's gone through loss. Someone who's experienced loss and is in the process of grief, or someone who is in crisis or sickness or having job despair or job concerns. How many know standing with one another is what we call fighting together or standing together or living life in the trenches? See, all heroes don't wear capes. Soldiers don't wear capes. They wear combat boots. They wear helmets. They wear fatigues. Everyday heroes don't wear capes. nurses, doctors, first responders, people who spend their life, social workers who spend their life taking care of people. I mean, oh, those are the people that are in the trenches every day fighting for the lives of our kids or fighting for the lives of the people around us or our communities. I mean, oh, there are everyday heroes all the way around us. Do you know that sometimes your best hero might be your mom or your dad? Your biggest fan, your biggest supporter, that when everything else feels like it's falling apart, mom and dad is there to help you, to pull you up, to stand with you, to encourage you, to convince you that you got this. Do you know how important it is to have that voice and the voice of a child? See, so many that pass through through my kindergarten class that don't have those voices, that don't have an advocate, that don't have somebody that fights for them, that doesn't have a hero. Sometimes the hero might be the spouse that's caring for someone who's sick or who's ill or who's fighting together, who's standing together in the trenches to see about a victory. Sometimes it might be the one who sits with someone in a midnight hour who are suffering or who's sick or ill. I mean, heroes come in many sizes. They come in many shapes, and they don't often wear capes. Because a hero is not one that wants to be recognized for their heroism. They just want to be there to serve. And the importance of service and sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a word we always like to hear. Sacrifice isn't always easy. How many know if you're going to go in the military, you better be able to sacrifice? You better be able to sacrifice anniversaries and birthdays and sports events and holidays and all of those things that you might not get to attend because you chose to serve your country or you chose to be in a career where you were going to be deployed or overseas or whatever. I mean, no, those are our everyday heroes, people who are the boots on the ground, the people who are fighting for our country, that are fighting for what we do. Sometimes it might be the person beside you that's fighting for you. How many are thankful for someone who's just in their corner? Somebody who can just be in your corner when you need somebody the most. I read a little thing the other day. I meant to read it first, but it said, I read a true story about a preacher who was standing at the door shaking hands as the congregation departed. He grabbed one man by the hand and pulled him aside. The preacher said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." The man replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, preacher." The preacher questioned, "How come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter?" He whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service." The Secret Service. And honestly, most of us are in the Secret Service because the things that you do most of the time don't get recognized. It's those things that, the scripture says, the things that what we do in secret, the Lord will reward you openly. The things we do, if you truly do it out of a heart of serving, or you truly do it out of a heart of caring, you're not doing it to be recognized. You're not doing it to be seen. You might be in the Secret Service. It might be you just slip in and you, drop a blessing somewhere and you just keep on moving. Those are the best kind. But I thought about this morning as we were talking about, everyday heroes and just people who stand in the trenches, those who fight the good fight of faith. How many are thankful for somebody who prayed you in, that prayed you to this part of your life, into this season of your life? Maybe you had a mom or a dad or a grandma or somebody who was the representation of the icon of faith in your family, somebody that told you about Jesus. You're probably here today because somebody either invited you, somebody told you about Jesus, or somebody witnessed to you, or the Holy Spirit drew you in. How many are thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to you, that pulls you in, that draws you in? But there are many instances of the scripture. We talk about the great heroes of faith, right? And we've been talking, over the last several weeks about raising a culture of leaders. And we talked about a lot of the great leaders in the scriptures. But Hebrews 11 talks about they call them the great hall of faith or the great Hebrews of faith. And do you know that all of the people in Hebrews and all of the heroes of faith were just ordinary people who did extraordinary things? They were just the average people, just like you and I. And we sometimes sell ourselves short and say, well, I can never do that, or I can't do that, or that mountain's too big for me. When God would say, it's not about what you can do, it's about what I can do. That God can take the ordinary in our life. God can take the everyday struggles of our life and turn something beautiful into that. We sometimes get weary, we get tired, and we get frustrated in life, thinking sometimes that I'm not doing anything great or anything amazing, or my name will never be in lights, or I'll never be famous. But hey, let me just tell you, if you are faithful to your house, if you are faithful to your children, if you're faithful to the calling of God in your life, you have accomplished what God's called you to do. Now, there are many giftings and many anointings in our life that we can walk in. And I believe God challenges us to stretch ourselves and say, God, where do you want to use me? How can I be used for your glory? What can I serve? How can I serve? I mean, oh, I said before, sacrifice takes some serving. Sacrifice takes some giving. Sacrifice takes some giving up of your wills or your desires or what you want to do for the day to serve someone who God has placed in your life. Amen? And we sometimes, you know, I've talked with a lady just not too long ago, and she was serving with her husband, and he's been very ill. And she just was frustrated, and she said, oh, Lord, help me. I just don't even know, you know, what God even thinks about me right now. I said, I think he thinks you're amazing. And you think that you're not doing anything great for the Lord right now, but what you're doing for your husband is a service to God. You are caring for the man that God put into your life, and God honors you for that. Those are the things that are the boots on the ground. Those are the things of living life in the trenches that we don't always think that are amazing or just big deals, but they're the little things that God puts before us that we faithfully do when we faithfully serve. You know, as I was thinking about in the scriptures, there are many instances of people who heard of Jesus. They heard of the miracles of Jesus, and they heard about the stories of Jesus, and when the crisis hit their life, they said, I don't know about anything else, but I got to get to Jesus. And there was a man whose son was tormented with an evil spirit, and the scripture says he brought him to the disciples, but the disciples didn't have the answer for him. And so then they brought him to Jesus, and he said, I took him to your disciples, and they did not have the answer to him, but he said, I want my son to be healed. And Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible. And Jesus, and the man said, but his reply back to Jesus is probably a response that all of us in this room at some time in our life have already said or will say. The man's response back to Jesus is, Lord, I believe. Help now my unbelief. It's not my belief system that's wrong. Is when unbelief sometimes creeps in. How many know sometimes we can entrust our lives or our loved ones into the hands of other people, and they don't always know the answer or how to fix it? He entrusted his son into the hands of the disciples, but they didn't know how to fix him. But when they brought him to Jesus, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help now my unbelief. Because I believe most of us have a belief system, and we believe that God is a miracle worker. We believe in the hand of God, but there are times when we see situations in our life where unbelief starts to creep in. In our prayer and our cry is, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, and she brought her daughter to the Lord. She was considered an outcast at the time. She was considered not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. She was considered not to be one of the host of Israel. And she brought her son to Jesus. And Jesus, and she says to him, my daughter is sick. And can you make her whole? And he says to her, healing is the children's bread. And she said, but Master, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus' response back to her is, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. See, she passed through cultural barriers. She passed through condemnation. She passed through her own insufficiency. She pushed aside everything that she thought she was, because I'm going to tell you, in the time of crisis, when your baby needs a healing, you'll do whatever you need to do to find to bring them to Jesus and say, Lord, can you make them whole? And the scripture said Jesus began to speak to the little girl, and she was made whole. When Jairus called for Jesus to come to his house because his little girl lay sick of dying, he was detained by the woman who had an issue of blood. And she didn't feel like she had the right to touch him or to call out to him. So she slips in behind and she touches the hem of his garment. You know the story. And the scripture said that immediately when she touched the hem of his garment, that she was made whole, because virtue flowed from him to her. And the scripture declares that even in her trying to be in the secret service, or nobody knowing that she had slipped in from the back, when she reached in, Jesus felt something. And he stops the procession and he says, who touched me? And they said, Master, everyone in this crowd has tried to touch you. He said, no, somebody connected with me today. See, there's a difference in going through the motions, saying our goodnight prayers, and really connecting with him, touching him. Because, see, under the law, if she was to touch him, she could make him unclean by virtue of the law. But what we don't understand is the more we reach out to touch him, the more he makes us whole. Because he said, when she touched me, something inside of me let loose. Something inside of me changed. Something inside of me happened. And virtue flowed out of me. And when it flowed out of him, it flowed to her. And his virtue was way more powerful than her issues. See, we all approach Jesus with issues. We all approach him in our unworthiness, and we all approach him in our deficit, in our need for him. But what I love about it is when we truly touch him, we truly connect with him, we truly come face to face with him, and we touch him, there is something that exchanges. There's a power and an anointing that happens. And when she touches him, she's made whole. And they come back to Jesus from the house of Jairus and say, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter is deceased. And Jesus said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And the scripture said that Jesus left the woman and he went to the young maiden who lay asleep. And you know what happens is when Jesus goes to walk in the room, they mock him and they make fun of him, because they said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And he says to them, put everybody outside of the room who is a scoffer, everyone who doesn't believe it, just put them outside and shut the door. Do you know that there's sometimes you got to shut the door to unbelief? There's sometimes you got to shut the door to faithlessness. Sometimes you got to shut the door and say, I'm not going to hear the voice of everybody else around me. I choose to trust in whom I am believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Because if anybody can do it, Jesus can do it. And the scripture says, he says to her, damsel, arise. Young maiden, get up. Because what we got to understand sometimes is those around us that we think are dead, they're not dead. They just need to be awakened to who they are. They need to be awakened to the voice of Jesus. They need to wake up to the realization that Jesus loves them, that he cares about them, and that he will come to your house. He said, I and my Father will come, and we'll take up our abode in you. Sometimes we just need to wake up to the realization of how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. Hallelujah. That it's not about your issues. It's not about what's kept you from touching him up to this point. Because sometimes we say, I know God is love, but does he love me? Anybody in here ever felt unlovable? Because sometimes we feel like that God keeps more account of our failures and our wrongdoings and our weaknesses than he does about our strength and our faith. I mean, no, your faith trumps your weaknesses every time. Your faith trumps your weaknesses every time, because there is nothing in you that God didn't pay for on the cross of Calvary. There's nothing you can do in your own flesh, your own weakness, that God did not pay for on the cross of Calvary. And he said, damsel, arise. And then he said, and give her something to eat. I mean, what we feed on is what will give us the strength to propel us into the purpose and the destiny of God in our life. That's why I love to do baby dedications. That's why I love to empower kids. Because I'm going to tell you that you can look at kids sometimes and say, I don't know about that one. Now, y'all probably done that sometime in your life. I don't know about that one. But for the hand of God, they can touch their lives and turn them around and take that energy and propel them to be world changers. How do we change our culture? How do we change our nation? We get concerned sometimes and we think, oh, this next generation. Any of you ever said that? It's okay. They said that about your generation. Talking about my generation. You know that song. And we say, oh, this next generation. And we call them millennials or we call them whatever. But how many know how we're going to change this next generation? It's not, the change is not going to happen in the White House. It's going to happen in your house. When we raise men and women of God in our house to have integrity, to have honor, to have service, to know what, to honor our country, to honor God, to honor our parents, and to honor, to show honor and integrity, to have good work ethic, to have character, to do the right thing even when no one is looking. You want to know how to change your culture? Change our kids. Teach them what's right. Teach them what's not okay. And when you have a conviction and they come to you and say, yeah, but mom, everybody else's mom's letting them do it. And you say, but I'm not everybody else's mom. Amen. Because my conviction in my heart of heart, whether I'm right or wrong, I got to go with my conviction and I got to stand on what I believe is right. And sometimes the right answer is no. I mean, no, you're not going to always be their best friend. And as a matter of fact, growing up, you shouldn't be their friend. You should be their mama or their daddy. You get to be their friend later if you'll be their parent now. If you're their friend now, you're going to be their parent later. You understand what I'm saying? That's how we change a culture. That's how we change a nation. We start raising kids who know what it's like to have good work ethic and to know what it is to honor people, to have respect, to make good choices, to do the right thing. There, in the scriptures, there was a man who was sick of the palsy. And I have scriptures for these, but I'm not going to go to all of them. Y'all have heard me share a lot of these things. But in talking about being in the trenches, talking about sacrifice, talking about fighting the good fight of faith, how many know it's what we do and how we interact with one another that matters? Sharing our faith, sharing our strengths, being there for somebody. Helping the neighbor when they're in crisis. Doing what's right. But there's a scripture where there's a man who's sick of the palsy. And the scripture, you know, palsy just means it's their no control over their movements or no control over their life. And he's sick of a palsy. And the scripture says that they found out that Jesus was in the village. But the multitude was so big that they could not get this young man to Jesus for the press of the crowd. How many know there are a lot of things that will crowd out the ability for you to get to Jesus, to have the connection to Jesus? What is it in our life that we let crowd us out of his presence? Now, his presence never leaves us, but how many know our focus is not always where it needs to be? So he's sick of the palsy, and the scripture says they take him to the house, and they can't get in, so they take him up onto the roof, and they tear off some shingles, or tear off some thatch, or tear off something in that village, whatever was on that roof, and they let them down through the roof right where Jesus was sitting. I've said many times before, you don't need a lot of friends, but you need four friends like that. I mean, no, you need some roof rippers in your life. You need some people in your life that will fight for you. People in your life that say, I don't know how to fix you, but if I can carry you long enough to get you into the presence of Jesus, I know when I get you to Jesus that he will know what to do and he'll know how to make you whole. I mean, no, it's our wholeness is not just our physical body. It's our spiritual mind and our emotional mind that God wants to make whole. I've often said sometimes the biggest sickness we fight or the war we fight is not physical pain as much as it is emotional pain. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we need to allow God to just come in and make us over again, to renew the renewing of our mind? How do you renew your mind? It's what you focus on. It's what you feed on. It's what you have daily in your repertoire of what is feeding your mind or emotions. Do you know if you always hear negativity, chances are negativity is what's going to be in your mind or in your head. If you always hear things that are fearful, chances are fear is what's going to be first and foremost in your mind. If you always hear things that are down and out, how many know it doesn't take very long to go into the room of people who are all in gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. It doesn't take long to be in that atmosphere until you get pulled into an atmosphere where you feel like you are defeated. Hallelujah. But how many know we can begin to focus our mind, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? That we get rid of the stinking thinking, as I was saying before, and let our mind be filled with everything that is good, everything is right, everything that is profitable. You know, we're getting ready to go into the season, the month of, it's not Christmas yet, it is Thanksgiving, as the kids think when the snow starts flying. I mean, we are getting ready to go into the season of Thanksgiving, and it's the time where we pause and give thanks. You know, one of the greatest healings for your despair is starting to focus on the things that are right about your life and not the things that are wrong. Focus on the things that are good around you and not the things that are bad. Focus on the things that you're thankful for, not the things that you're not so thankful for. It's a matter of changing our mind, changing our thought process, changing our will and our emotions, and focusing on him and allowing him to make himself so real in our life. How many in here can say, I've got some things to be thankful for today? We can all lift our hands and say, we are thankful. God, I'm thankful to you for things. And, you know, there are things in my life. There are things in my life I'm not so thankful for. But how many know God doesn't bring despair? He doesn't bring sickness and disease on us, but he doesn't waste us. That even in the middle of chaos, and even in the middle of tragedy, and even in the middle of despair, that God can bring something beautiful out of that. That when we begin to look for what God is doing in the midst of it, then our focus becomes, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you that you walk beside us. Thank you that I'm not going through this alone. Thank you that you are a very present help, even in the time of trouble. Our life, as we focus, our experiences and some of the greatest things you will do probably will never be noticed, because we do them out of a heart of gratitude. We do it out of a heart of a giving. And then God comes along and plants a seed. You know, Tam and them were sharing some of their experiences on their trip. Even a couple times when they had some difficulties, that God just sent somebody by. And right in the moment when they needed, there was somebody there and ministered to their need and got them on the way. And that is the faithfulness of God in our life. And so we can even either focus on the problem, or we can focus on what God did in the midst of it every time. And we find out that God sends angels unaware, and that God sends his messengers with a word of encouragement or a hand to help, or maybe just a voice to lift you up just for today to say, you got this, you're strong, and you're going to make it. Amen. Hallelujah. He is our strength. He is our peace. He is our comforter. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have life today. Stand to your feet with me. Beth's going to get ready to come and sing a song. Wherever you are today, wherever you stand this morning in your life or whatever place, maybe you feel like you've been in the trenches. Maybe you feel like you've been fighting and fighting and fighting. But I want you to know this morning you don't fight by yourself. You don't stand alone. That the host of heaven is encamped round about those that fear him. That's what the word says. Hallelujah. The host of heaven encamps round about those that fear him. That when you feel you're most alone, look up and just know that the host of heaven has surrounded you today. As Beth plays, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you'd like to receive him this morning, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I receive you into my heart to save my life and to begin that journey. If you need special prayer this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. But I just want you to open your hearts to the Lord this morning as she sings, and our altar is open if you feel the need to come and pray.